This is the Thursday, May 26th edition of Daily Wager Podcast. We got more NBA playoff action tonight, also on the ice as well, and a little baseball and WNBA to round things out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, alongside Tyler Fulgham on this Thursday before we head into a long holiday weekend.
Yeah, Doug, ready for what could be, and we'll get to this later in the show here on the podcast, what could be an historic Daily Wager broadcast on ESPN2 at 6 p.m. Eastern tonight.
Yeah, we've been en fuego on best bets. Aaron with the plus 750 score on same game parlay. So really good stuff there. Again, we'll touch on that in a bit. But let's start with the Mavericks and Warriors. Another opportunity for Golden State to close things out. We're unable to do it in game four. Got rolled by the Mavs. Although, the final score and margin does not really indicate how the game was played. I've been talking about, I like the Mavs tonight. First half is probably where I'm going to land. I just think Golden State is sort of a sluggish start. And the Mavs, I think, are legit. They just missed open shots. And the Warriors have hit more open shots. And it feels like, to me, it's going to be, if it closes out, which I think it will, it's going to feel like Memphis game, Denver game, when they closed out. And really, first half belonged to the road team here.
Yeah, I think that would correlate with my play, kind of. I've been doing this for a lot of the postseason with the Warriors and much of this series to some pretty decent success. I'm going to play the Warriors spread in the second half. So they're laying 2.5 in the second half. I also like their team total over 111.5. They've eclipsed that mark in both of their home games of this series, scoring 112 in game one or two. 126 in there. Bottom line, they've gone over both, averaging 119 points at home. But in the second half, and this is a narrative that's kind of percolated with this Warriors team throughout their run with Steph Curry in that core. When they come out of the break, Steve Kerr makes great adjustments. They get hot. They dominate in that third quarter and kind of pour it on and pull away from you in the second half. They won game one by 16 points in the second half. They won game two by 23. And then they went on the road and won game three by 8 points in the second half. And they even won game four by 5 points in the second half because of that crazy comeback in the fourth quarter that kind of made things tight for a second, but not really. So bottom line is, they crush. They're 4-0 in the second half this series against Dallas, especially at home. They won each of those by almost 20 points per game, the second half differential. So I'm going to lean into that trend I've seen with Golden State, thinking along the lines of you that Dallas makes it a little interesting for the first couple of quarters, maybe two quarters and a half, but ultimately run out of steam and the Warriors prevail.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think the Warriors have this switch. They just flip and it's going to be a blowout at home or something. I think they're really kind of overrated. Steph Curry is phenomenal, obviously an all-timer. But, I mean, Klay's not the same. Wiggins, in fact, has been their second-best player. And Klay is obviously capable, and he showed that in the last game against Memphis. But Draymond's offense has slipped, still a stellar defender, and Looney's solid, and I think Jordan Poole's overrated when you factor in the defense and how much of a liability he is. I think Dallas, has solid role players. Luka doesn't have his, second stud that other teams do, who have. But aside from that, they're deep enough, and they got to go small really from the start. I don't think they should start, pal.
Yeah, Luka's kind of got two guys that can combine on any one night to be a second stud, and Dinwiddie and Brunson. Neither one is a true Robin, but if they're both playing at their A game together, yes, they're kind of a really good Robin to Luka's Batman. But then, if they're hitting threes, they're dangerous. If they're not, it's kind of Luka can't do enough. There is one player prop I wanted to mention as well before we move on. Steph Curry over 12.5 rebounds and assists. It's minus 105. He's cleared this threshold in all four games of the series, even games where he's had minutes limited due to blowouts. So he's had, his low water mark is 12. I think his high water mark is 16 or 18. Bottom line is he's averaging 14.5 rebounds and assists. It's 7.5 boards, 7 assists per game in this series. And he's cleared at least 12 and a half in all four of the games. Sorry, 13 is the low water mark. I said 12, but 13 is the low water mark he's had in a couple of games where his minutes were limited. But he's cleared it in all four, so I'm going to go right back to that well because he's put up good box scores, and I don't see any reason why that won't continue in this game.
Yeah, no, and I mean, look, Bullock and DFS, if they can just hit some threes, it'll be make it really interesting. I just need them to do it for the first half. So exactly. Moving on, hockey got two game fives tonight, Rangers, Canes, Oilers, Flames. I lean to the over 6.5 with Oilers and Flames, but no strong opinion there.
Yeah, I'm the same. I would just both of these are like the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of how these series have looked aesthetically. The Rangers and Hurricanes have been low scoring slugfest with great goaltending. I would lean under 5.5 there. Meanwhile, the Oilers and the Flames have given us a game that featured 15 goals in this series over 6.5. Connor McDavid, any which way you want to play him right now to score a point or over a point and a half over his shot prop, I think is just wise. There's no one better in the NHL right now. No one more exciting. Even though we saw what Nathan MacKinnon did last night, I wouldn't be surprised if McDavid backs it up with an opportunity to close the series out and gives you like a hat trick himself or a, you know, multiple point effort tonight. He's the best in the business. He is the Luka. He is the LeBron right now of the NBA, whoever you want to say is the best. But I think it's not really even a question when you watch McDavid play on the ice versus every other hockey player in the universe. So over 6.5 goals there, thinking McDavid once again has a great night.
Cool. Anything on the diamond?
Yeah, it is my St. Louis Cardinals taking on the first place Milwaukee Brewers at home. Eric Lauer has kind of surprisingly, like, what are the Brewers doing with their pitching staff? No one develops pitchers as well as the Milwaukee Brewers do. We know what Burns and Woodruff and Peralta have been. Now, all of a sudden, Eric Lauer has turned into this bona fide ace who's striking out 8, 9, 10 guys a game. But he is a lefty, and the Cardinals absolutely mash lefties. They have the best slugging percentage. 496. Their slugging percentage is almost 500 as a team against lefties this year, and that covers 272 at-bats. They're 50 points better than the second-best team, which is the New York Yankees, and their OPS, coincidentally, is 862, which is best in Major League Baseball against lefties, which is 60 points better than the next-best team, which is the Colorado Rockies. They bat 290 as a team against lefties. They absolutely mash left-handed pitching, so there is maybe a little bit of concern for regression because guys like Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson, who is a switch hitter, are not in the lineup right now. But we know Albert Pujols has crushed lefties. We know Arenado and Goldschmidt do so as well. So I'll ride that trend with the Cardinals against left-handed pitching, thinking that they go over their team total against Eric Lauer, that they win this game on the run line against the Brewers because Adam Wainwright is going. And we know he's their most consistent starting pitcher. But if you want to back off or exercise caution or maybe jump on the other side, do note that Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, a couple of those key outfielders that do have good splits from the right side against lefties are not in the lineup. Maybe it's my red colored glasses, but I'm going to keep riding the trend there for the Redbirds against the Brewers and Eric Lauer. Although Lauer's been awesome this year.
All right. Good stuff. So that's your only play. I don't really have anything on the diamond. You know, nothing intrigued me enough to want to fire. But on the WNBA, this, you know, it's kind of like the NBA we saw this year's, these back-to-back games or home-and-homes kind of. We have one here with the Connecticut Sun and the Dallas Wings. The Wings just beat the Sun 2 days ago, so on Tuesday, and no travel. Tonight's at Connecticut as well. I'd be shocked if the Sun don't play much better. And I like the first half a lot, -4. Not sure if I'd lay the 7.5, but I'm expecting a really strong start from the Sun, that front line. Now look, Dallas has their big three, but, the Sun are just, I think, awesome. I think they're the best team. So I'm going to just trust them in a good spot, situational spot to play them.
All right. There is, as we alluded to kind of, Doug, some potential for history with our best bets this week. And I know you and I may kind of feel like the two kids who are, you know, going to get the A+ on the report card.
The group project.
Not doing much work because we weren't really here for first couple of days of the week. And I don't think I've hit a best bet in either show I've been in. So I'm kind of dragging the team down. But thanks to Aaron Dolan, and which he had a 3-leg parlay last night that hit in the NBA at +750.
Yeah, same game parlay. It was Celtics to win the game. Jason Tatum under 28.5 points, I believe, or 29.5. And then the one that I thought was not going to hit, Bam Adebayo double-double, and he got 10 rebounds on the nose. So really fortunate there. But just a huge flex, because it all stemmed from Monday when the show went 5-0. Yeah. And then Puck
guy, neither of us was there.
Yeah, followed up on a tweet and like a flex. He's like, I should deserve more credit because I went with an underdog. He like hit plus 130 or 40. So Aaron's like, all right, you want an underdog? I got how about this? Plus 750. So it's definitely like prompted by Puck Daddy, just kind of playful. So really, really good performance. And so yeah, we have a chance to really you know, I wonder if SportsCenter is going to do a live break-in on a night game. I don't know.
We should tell. I don't know if Stanford Steve's going to be on the show, but we should have SVP give it some treatment. I know, according to our producer, Eddie Marlette, he sent us that the record for most units in a single week is plus 14.45. And I know Anita hit like a 14-1 long shot at the Preakness that week or something. That was the big reason we had there. We had that number a few years ago, but right now we currently stand at plus 12.9 units. So we got to make up basically about 2.5 units here, or 1.5 unit. We got to basically be up 1.5 unit today to break the record. I know we'll have a jam packed show, but we are knocking on the door of history potentially in terms of our best week with best bets in terms of units for our viewers out there.
All right. Well, the pressure is officially on, and we hope all of you join us tonight at 6 Eastern on ESPN2. And like I said, maybe SportsCenter will do break-ins once the record's on the ropes. do a live look. All right, my man. I will see you later in the studio. Good luck to everyone out there, and we'll see you at 6 p.m. Eastern.